What did you say?
I said the reason I am so popular and I'm so famous is that there's a large contingent of men who don't want to wear makeup, who still want to make money, go to the gym, be strong, drive a fast car, be traditionally masculine, and don't want to be shamed for that, and they don't want to be called toxic for that.
One thing I noticed recently, just being here in Florida, noticing that no cops are being pulling over anybody. It looks like, unless you're having an accident or you're stuck on the road, you can go a little faster and you're not going to get bothered, right? But I was listening to that clip that you just heard, and it just made me think about how accurate that is. But here's the caveat for a certain type of guy. I think that when it comes to men, in my opinion, a lot of men think like that. A lot of men, if I was to give you a pie chart, I would say 50% are like that. Like that's to some degree, if they have a good career, if they have a good job, if they have a house, if they pay bills, like if they're basically able to provide a lifestyle and they're doing just fine without a woman, then yes, that's exactly how they're going to feel to some degree. Even if they're in a relationship, they are still going to feel like they are the boss, the alpha. There's a level of leadership and respect that men like that require. It's like, it's not an ego, but it's like they have to be the king of their own castle, so to say, without any question, and being able to do things as they like without being questioned, without being complained about, right? I think that message is very fascinating to me, and I'll go into that later. Then you have, I would say you probably have maybe 20 to 30% like me, like just to chill, kind of laid back, friend zone-ish. Like if they're in a relationship, they're not trying to fight. You know, they kind of have their boundaries. They kind of have their way of doing things. But at the end, they're easygoing. They'll work with a woman. They'll go take Christmas pictures. They'll dress up Halloween for the woman kind of shit, right? So it's kind of like the happy wife, happy life. Like, you know, once we get to a point where we don't want to argue and you know, it doesn't make us like rollovers per se, but we're good with doing it a certain way. And then obviously you have like the 10%, like the 1 out of 10, I think it's like the Jeffrey Dahmers, like very extreme. I think very extreme with sociopathic tendencies. And I think you have also those men in there that leech off women 10 to 15% easily. You know, those guys that go from woman to woman, they know how to court a woman, exactly what the woman wants to hear. They go along, they play along. And then after a year, after they have that magic spell on them, next thing you know, they're living in the girlfriend's apartment. She's paying for everything. And, you know, he's just doing whatever little things around the house. But at the end, you know, he's surviving because of her job, because of her work, whatever role it is. I see those kind of men before. So for me, it's fascinating because I know many men, I would say in my circle, social circles, a lot of men are like Andrew Tate to some degree. And it's always fascinating to me. That's why I always listen and tune in. Because unlike most people, when they hear something about their gender or about their color or about whatever it is, they get offended instead of just stepping back and saying, you know, that may not be my truth, but is that something that's common in this comment that's being made? And I think what Andrew Tate says a lot is true. I think there's a lot of men out there that understand that when they provide a lifestyle, when they are making certain sacrifices to be stable, to and be a gentleman and be protective of their women, they want that woman to play that role. It's more of a traditional role. And sometimes that may require double standards. Sometimes that may require you shut the fuck up and not say anything back, right? And to somehow just take care of me when I need to be taken care of because I need that. And you cannot be with other men. You cannot be talking to other men. You cannot even stand the sight of other men. I mean, there's countries that run that way. I don't have to go into those, but we all know what there's countries out there and cultures that men. So that's something that that's being glorified to another level. When that's being accepted culturally, where in the United States, that's now something that's molded, and meaning that there's some men that do think that way, still think that way, but there's such a myriad of different personalities And I think that's where I have a problem with Andrew Tate being banged on by everyone, because whenever you talk about these realities that some people are, it bothers others. Like, you know, there were so many times women would come up to me and say, you know what, like, I've heard your podcast and it's fucking bashing women. I'm like, no, I hold women accountable. I hold men accountable. I hold black people accountable. I hold white people accountable. Whenever I see a story that resonates with a thought that I have, I'm going to share it. But that doesn't mean that's the end all be all. Like, I know there's exceptions. I know they're just like with me. Like, listen, if you tell me about all men are like that, I'm like, no. I mean, it's not going to bother me, but I get it. I get it. Or that all men are bad fathers. I mean, I get it. It sucks, but I'm not like that, but I get it. Or let's just say Hispanic men are short. I'm like, well, I get it. It's true. Not many are tall, right? But I'm not getting offended by it. And I think that with this case in point of masculine men, masculinity, there are men out there that want that. And I think as a woman, you have to, I know I'm going to tell this to my daughters, that you have to find what it is that man values, right? There's some men that value loyalty. Like, no matter what they do, no matter how much of a fuck up they are, that you're still going to be there, that you're still going to hold them up, that you're still, like, he's your leader no matter what. You idolize him, and that you're willing to be there in whatever capacity he needs you to be in. Like, there's some men that want that element. There's some men that want, that don't care about that, just want great fucking sex at any time. Like, I'll be the beta. I'll be, you know, I'll work with you half and half. But I just need that really good sex. There's other men, obviously, that need you to be a trophy wife. That when they go out and socialize, that you're the prettiest, or if not one of the prettiest in the room. Sometimes it's a combination of those, right? But you have to, I think as women and men, especially, you got to know who you are. And that really, no matter what all these relationship talks are being done, at the end, you have to know who you are. And then that develops into what kind of person you want to welcome into your life. You know, like, one of the things for me, like, I realize this about myself, is that I have three major factors that bothers most of the women. In no particular order, I think that my co-parenting dynamic is a big problem, because I get along too well with my ex-wife. And it's looked at a point of, okay, well, there's no trust there, because, or there should be something cut off with me and my ex-wife, because that's making them feel a certain way. That's usually one of the triggers that I deal with in women when I date. The second one is intimacy. I'm going to leave it as plain as this. I'm not vanilla. I'm not traditional. And when you are being open-minded like I am and wanting to not be the conventional as far as what you experience traditionally in an old-school conservative fashion, that's not me. I'm very ultra liberal when it comes to intimacy, the spectrum of it, whatever you like, it's grown adults getting it on. So that's, but that, for a lot of women, that's a scary place, because they go into Pandora's box of, meaning that they open that up for other people, and other people, they just trampled all over them, and they just said, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore. I did that before with my ex-husband. I did that before with this other person, and it just caused a bunch of issues, a bunch of stress, a bunch of problems, and I'm not trying to deal with that anymore. And I get it. I get that. So that's another problem there. And I think if I was to rank them, like I said, I wasn't, but I, number one for sure is being misunderstood from my filter. Like, I speak very freely. Like, I speak on this all the time, because these are thoughts that are always running through my mind. And I talk to myself a lot of times. I see people, I remember a coworker where she was in the break room and she was talking to herself out loud, and I come in and she just really gets scared, like, oh fuck, like, you caught me, you must think I'm a nut job. I just told her, no, I do it all the time. I do it all. I'm always talking to myself, because I'm always talking about my ideas or thoughts or things that come out, and I don't know why, it's just therapeutic when I talk out loud, and now especially with a microphone in front of me. So, you know, I say many things that are not saying inconsiderate, but if you don't have the right vibration to understand that, like, if you're not able to understand that I'm not intending anything evil, it's just kind of spewing what's in my head and just saying it at the moment. You know how those movies come out like when you're watching certain movies and then there's like a moment where the person, you see what they're really thinking. Like, for example, they're having a conversation with somebody and they're thinking about having sex with them, or they're thinking about killing them in the moment, but then they flash back to what's really happening. That I feel like I do that all the time. Like, I'm always conveying what that flash thought is in the moment, because it helps me be therapeutic. It helps me get that shit out of me, so I'm not sitting in there and pondering on it. So these are the things that I understand are my weaknesses that other women can't handle, because it's like, you know, whenever you hold somebody to a certain standard and how they speak to you and what they say, and it's not that I abuse anybody physically, verbally, I don't do any of that. Any woman that has been with me knows that I don't do any of that. It's just that I don't conform to the norms of what they want to experience, which is not my way of happiness. It's not my path of happiness. It's being myself, talking out loud, you understanding where I'm coming from. Hey, we're understanding. We're being, you let me be how I need to be as a parent, no questions asked. If you give me an advice, cool, you know, and then we help each other out. That's really it. But not everyone is like that. And I know a lot of men that are traditional in that sense. And there's men out there that cannot be, you know, they have to practice double standards where they just feel, okay, I can go out and do whatever I like to do, but the same rules don't apply to my woman, because here I am taking most of, you know, taking care of most of the issues financially. Like, they feel like the woman is there to serve them. And I just don't think there's nothing wrong with that, because I think there's women out there that are wanting to be subservient as well. I've seen that. Like, I've seen a big pushback from women saying, hey, like, there's some women that want to be taken care of and feel safe by a man and be wined and dined and have the traditional values of what men used to do. I want that. You know, I want that. I'm okay with that. But there's some women that don't. And it's okay if you don't, women. It's okay. Like, because you ladies are the gatekeepers of intimacy. So as far as initiating a bond with somebody, you just got to know yourself. Like, if you know that's what you want, like, if what kind of man you want someone that's a 50-50 partner, someone that is maybe has their ways but respects yours, okay, that's what you have to focus on, knowing on how you are. Just like I said about my things. I said, well, I know these things that I deal with has to be somebody that is a very independent woman. It's a woman that doesn't prioritize the relationship because they have other things going on. They also understand, they don't take things personal or too sensitive about having intense thoughts being spewed that may feel like a personal attack, but they're not. Like I said earlier, I could hear somebody say about poor people and I joke about it. I'm like, oh man, I feel attacked. Oh no. What do I do? This is totally, it sounds like me 1,000,000%, but oh well, you know, that's just the drawbacks of, but you have to be able to take it and you have to be able to see, be accepting of those realities of who you are. And I think what Andrew Tate was saying is exactly what I feel a good portion, half of the men population do feel that way to some extent. No doubt about it. Like, there's some men that just, when it comes to body count, they have a problem with, meaning body count and the amount of partners the lady has had, how many people she's seeing, not seeing, you know, like, it's like this, there's this level of ego that has to be catered to because they're not comfortable with a woman dating and seeing multiple men. Like, I know when I date a woman, it's like she's fucking another dude. She already has a fuck buddy. She already has the ex-boyfriend. She already has people in the friend zone that she's fucked. I mean, she has anybody coming in. So I don't even, why am I going to put that in my head knowing that women are going to be sexually active, especially when they're not committed to somebody? Like, why would you even think that's not a reality? Or how many people she's fucking? Hello, we're not virgins. Like, none of us at this stage, grown adults, are not virgins. So get over yourself. Like, she may be fucking 4 guys before she goes on a date with you. That's why I have no problem dating married women, right? Especially the ones that are in polyamorous relationships. Because it's like, you already know. Like, you already know. Hey, she's seen this guy. Okay, she's seen this other guy. Like, this girl that I see, it's like, oh, I'm talking to her. I should say, I'm not even done anything. She has a husband. She has a secondary guy. And I'm like the number third. I'm like, all right. Well, that's cool. I mean, it's not, I'm not, I don't care. That's cool. I mean, but we're letting it out and be open. Letting it be out in the open about where I stand, what's going on. I'm like, hey. Because women are doing that whether you know it or not. That's what men don't understand. It's that men get caught up in this exclusivity desire because they don't want their woman to have other dick in them or they just feel like a woman can be whorish. And again, that's the type of men that Andrew Tate caters to. And for me, I love listening to it because it gives me a perspective on that type of man. I don't think that way. I could understand it in some cases as to if a man is providing everything and anything and he's really going out of his way to provide this woman the lifestyle and he's just asking for maybe two or three things. Maybe he's asking for a blowjob every morning or maybe he's just asking for her not to fucking give him a hard time about coming home late or about, you know, not doing anything but wanting to sit in the couch and watch football. You know, I get it. Like, it's boring. Life is boring. Life gets routine sometimes. But you have to understand what sacrifices are being made for you to get to that point. And I think that's what this guy is championing right now. For it's like basically for all you all men out there that work your ass off, that love taking care of a woman, that love the traditional role of being a protector and being there and providing for you, for not only her, but for the family. And letting her run the house how she wants to run the house. Like, there are men out there that want that. There are men out there that they function well that way. And I think that for me, it's understanding that a lot of women, I don't know if a lot of women are built the same way traditionally, but there's more of a myriad with women. But because I think mere women want a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of the other. So I look at that. And again, I could be all wrong. I'm just talking from out of my fucking brain. But I feel that these dynamics are real, but people get offended because it doesn't apply to them. So therefore, they're going to attack it. They're going to minimize it. They're going to call somebody misogynistic. They're going to call somebody all these different names that relatively are not true. He's just saying that he's a traditional guy with traditional values of relationship dynamics. He's never mistreated women. No one has come out. Just like with me. It's like just, and I'm on the other end of the spectrum on that one where I talk shit a lot about women and their ways and how stupid it is. But no woman that has engaged with me in a relationship would ever say that I mistreated them, that I abused them, that I, if anything, they've been in a better spot after they've been with me. So that's, and that's where a lot of people in this day and age get caught up in. Something doesn't ring with them right. Okay, what's going on here? Well, that person's a racist. Or that person is hates women. Or that person is homophobic. Or that it's not. It's like you have to see the intent. Like I always say, you have to understand that not everyone thinks like you. Not everyone's built the same way as you. So you have to be respectful of other people's way. As long as they're being respectful to you, it's one thing. Like it's one thing if you're dancing and a guy is rubbing up on you for no reason. I get that. Like, that's kind of, men should learn how to respect boundaries. Men should learn how, when a woman invites them into their space, then that's when they are able to do the recruiting or the courting, whatever you want to call it. But when you are in a position of, you know, just forcing yourself, your manly ways onto a woman, that's when I think you have to understand as a man that not all women resonate that way. And I think Andrew Tate is definitely saying, hey, I get it. There's other different types of men, but you know, the kind of man that I represent or that I value or that I believe in is the fact that, you know, men run the show. Women, there's double standards with that. And women have to tolerate it because we pay, we're going to take care of you. We're going to treat you like gold, but yeah, you're going to let us be a certain way. And there's no question in that. There's no, you know, you're going to go ahead and cater to my insecurities. You're going to, because the trade-off is I'm providing for you. I'm taking care of you in the ways that are traditional in our species. And I think it's cool. I think there's no, do I agree with it? No, because that's not me. That's not me, how I operate, but I understand other people operate differently. And there's women out there. That's the key, guys. There's women out there that do want to be subservient. They do want to play, just like have the man go out there and work all day. They stay home, take care of the house, manage the bills, pick up the kids from school, talk to the teachers, come home, have dinner cooked for everybody. There's women out there that want to do that. Go on their annual family trip, right? Like all these different things that embrace that traditional role that many women are pushing back against. I get it, you know, but you got to learn what kind of men you're dealing with. Not all men are like that. I think a good portion are to different degrees. And you have to understand how you want to be in a relationship, what kind of role you want to have. Like for me, I'll leave with this. I want to be more of a non-traditional, meaning that we're a partnership. Okay, you tell me what roles you have. You don't tell me what the fuck to do. I'm not going to tell you what the fuck to do, but you don't tell me what the fuck to do. We can have conversations. We treat each other as equals, because what happens a lot of time, in my experiences anyway, women want to get in there and control the show. They want to control how you are. They want to control what you think. They want to control what you say. They want to control how you are. And it's not something that happens overnight, but it's a gradual, because they'll start gaslighting you and they'll start manipulating in their own way of like, okay, I gotta get you with the program, with my program. And I say, no, I don't need your program, ma'am. Like, you already know what this program came with. I understand your program. Now, if all these other things were later on indicative of me joining that, then that's an idea you sold yourself, because I'm not doing that at all. But you know, but I think overall, it's understanding who you are. And of course, I have failure in relationships left and right all the time. But I think it's because I know who I am. I don't have any shame in who I am. I have much clarity in who I am. And I'm not afraid of that. But the things that I convey and I talk about can be very intimidating, can create insecurities with a woman, especially where they're used to navigating in a way of dealing with a man's ego, dealing with certain things that are not conventional with my makeup as a man. So it's a very interesting thing. And just seeing all these different personalities and opinions being spewed, but and being labeled, dumped automatically into a negative label without seeing the whole picture, it's fascinating. Classic and upkeep, spreading that thing like Bubby. This ain't in my body.